Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short, so let's get started.
Hello to all my wonderful, loyal listeners from around the globe and beyond, and welcome to Soul to Profit Radio. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I am super happy to be here with you today. I have a fantastic guest. Her name's Shawn Duperin, and she will be calling in shortly, so we'll have her on the show momentarily. And in the meantime, while Shawn is dialing in and getting through the switchboard, I wanted to talk a little bit about some strategies that you can utilize to increase your productivity. And, you know, oftentimes in order to increase productivity, it doesn't require making drastic changes to what you're currently doing. But sometimes you can make subtle changes to what you're already doing, and that can produce tremendous results. And I have an idea for you in terms of your, what some people refer to as your to-do list, and I like to call that your action list. So if you were to think about, you know, and hopefully you have an action list. You know, it often surprises me when I work with people when they say they don't have an action list or a to-do list. And I wonder how they accomplish anything because I think it's really important in order to get results in your business and in your life to have focus. And the key to that focus is putting your ideas in writing on paper. There's something that happens when you commit to taking action and putting your ideas on paper. It's really, really powerful. I think it has to do with what Napoleon Hill in his book titled Think and Grow Rich refers to as unseen forces come to your aid, and it opens up the door for those unseen forces to assist you, and you know they're even also referred to at times as invisible sources or also as spirit guides. And these are very real and tangible beings who are out there to help us through life and make life easier. So when you commit to your goals and to your strategies in writing, on paper, it lets the universe know, okay, you're committed and you're serious about accomplishing your goals. So the thought that I have for you is to tweak a little bit in terms of your thinking and your thought process when it comes to your action list and what you're responsible for, and then also opening up to the idea that the universe can assist you along your path. So as you work through your day, you would simply take a blank piece of paper and make a line right down the middle of that piece of paper. And you would, on one side of that paper, you would put your name. And on the other side of the paper, you would put the universe. And then you would look at what you desire to accomplish and see what part of your goals you're responsible for, and then what you can have the universe be responsible for. And it's a simple strategy, but oftentimes people forget that they have these unseen or invisible forces available to them to assist them in achieving their goals. And it's highly effective when you put some things in the column of the universe to have the universe take care of it. So I'll give you an example. If, for instance, you're looking to expand your business and you are wanting to create a new campaign toward bringing in new clients and customers, the things that would appear on your side of the list would be, for instance, writing ad copy or going to networking meetings, you know, actually taking action toward expanding your presence. And in the universe's column, it might look like bringing you happy, qualified customers or having your ads reach a larger audience. So really open up to the idea that the universe can assist you in achieving your goals, and they can do it in a way that is easy and helps you get maximum reach and productivity. And that brings me to my wonderful guest today. My guest today is six-time Emmy Award-winning media coach Shawn Duperin, and I know you're going to love her. Shawn has been in the TV business for nearly 20 years. She has taught thousands how to communicate as leaders while networking and marketing in social and traditional media. Shawn works with corporations, entrepreneurs, universities, and government agencies across the globe, and she's interviewed many recent U.S. presidents and has filmed hundreds of celebrities, including Morgan Freeman, Bill Cosby, Yo-Yo Ma, Senator John McCain, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. You've watched her on national networks such as CNN, CBS, The Early Show, and she's been featured in Inc. magazine, USA Today, The Washington Post, The Chicago Tribune, and many, many more. So we are delighted to welcome Shawn Duperin to Soul to Profit Radio today.
Mwah. Hello, Jaden. I'm just tickled to be here. How's that?
Ah, that's wonderful, Shawn. I'm happy to have you here and to share you with my audience. You know, my first preference is to have a one-on-one call with you and just, you know, take you in myself, but I'm going to actually be generous and share you with my listeners today.
It's so awesome. Can I say something?
Please.
You know this. You know I know the media game, and it's really important that you're there ahead of time, and so your host is not worrying. And just before I called you, I'm working pretty deeply with Archbishop Desmond Tutu on our Project Forgive, and I had one of my most significant conversations regarding this partnership, and I knew I was going to be a few minutes late on your call, which you never are supposed to do. And in my trusting of you, I just said, oh, Jaden, I just sent you like a little prayer. Oh, please, just tap dance for me, baby, because I'm coming. Just so you know, I'm coming on that call. And when I got on the call a few minutes ago listening to you, I'm like, oh, he handled this so brilliantly and so beautifully. People might not have even have known that that was going on. And that's one of the scariest things about being a host is when you schedule people, that's the same thing for a reporter. Are the people going to show up? And how you handle that so masterfully actually makes me like you even more and have a higher respect. How's that?
Well, thank you. That's so nice of you
to
say. You know, I love Archbishop Tutu. So if you're working with him and doing that kind of work, then you are fully excused. And I'm delighted to have you with us today. So tell our listeners, where are you calling in from today?
Well, hey, I'm in Motor City. I'm from Detroit. I'm in Detroit. And, yeah, and it's muggy and hot, and I'm welcoming the weather. How's that?
There you go. So I know we have limited time with you today, so let's dive in, shall we?
Rock and roll.
All right. So, you know, media is such a massive topic. So if you could guide our listeners through what you think are some of the more important points as it relates to media and assisting them in growing their business, that would be great. Like, what are a few things that are really important to look out for?
Probably the myths about the media would be the biggest thing. Because when we pitch the media, actually approach them for doing a story on us, and these are free stories. This is not advertising. Am I allowed to say sex on your show?
You just did.
All right, I'm not going to say have sex. That was a misspoke. But the thing is, a lot of people, when they're approaching the media, is they're trying to have sex on the first date. And it's a great analogy. It's an awkward one, and it's a great one. Because here you are telling the media about your story to get this free coverage, and you're selling your book, you're selling your product, you're selling your services, and quite frankly, the media could care less. What they want is for you to make a difference for their viewers, their watchers, their listeners. And when you get that to your bones, then you can start pitching stories that the media really craves. And then as the relationship develops, because this is a conversation of relationship building, just like you love up your best vendors, you love up your best employees, you treat them with respect and gold. And to say that about media relationships, most of us don't even have that in our consciousness.
Exactly, and that's a game changer, isn't it? When you can shift your perspective from what you're offering to how you're benefiting the media's audience, that's when life gets easier, doesn't it, to get on shows and in print.
Absolutely, and you do this so well, Jaden. You model the game of influence because it's what Teresa de Grobois from the Evolutionary Business Council always models. It's a game of influence, and journalists, reporters, and producers are people of influence. You want to make a difference for them first. Believe me, as you create a relationship, they're going to circle back and make a bigger difference for you because you're helping them. Because if you think about it, they're like the hot girl. Everybody wants to date the hot girl. The hot girl's tired of the guys chasing her all the time. And she really wants something authentic and pure. And the media are looking for that as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sean. So would you recommend, you know, every media outlet is different. They all have a different audience. They all have a different focus. So would you recommend that people get online, start doing their homework a little bit to figure out what specific, you know, for instance, a CNN audience viewer might be way different than the Ellen DeGeneres show. So is it
yeah.
more of discovering – just doing a little bit of homework first before you contact the media to get on?
Absolutely. And because my thing is TV, I always love to talk about TV because when you pitch the media, when you pitch TV, that's the highest skill set. So if you can pitch TV, you can pitch the New York Times. The TV is the hardest skill set. And when I was just recently on CNN with Soledad O'Brien. Before I went on her show, I watched her on camera to see what she's like, how does she interview, are we a match? And after seeing her on the show, I knew, she's interesting, it's an awesome opportunity, a million people are going to see us on Project Forgive, which is great, and I probably would not pursue a deep relationship with her because she's not a perfect match. You want to get in matches with reporters and producers and anchors that match what you're up to. Maybe the same disposition as you, because I know you attract, Jaden, you attract like high-level thinkers who are on a mission or have a passion. There's actually reporters like that, that all they care about is sharing stories that are very passionate and mission-based. Those are the reporters that I pursue. I don't want to go to a crime reporter to talk about how important it is to forgive when someone does a horrible crime to you because they don't have that empathy and that love that I want from a reporter, and it's feasible. And I want to be in relationship for a long time. So I pick reporters that I would have dinner with, and there's a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point. There has to be a synergy there. There has to be a resonancy in terms of the message you're offering and what they're wanting to convey to their audience as well. And that's important because everyone thinks, oh, if I just get on a bunch of TV, I'm going to get really well known. But what you're saying makes much more sense.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times, like, regular media trainers will come out and say, yeah, get to know your reporter, investigate them. It's like, dang, find, you know, it's like a dating relationship. You check out the girl before. Is she, a lot of times for men, it's how she does she physically look. They're biologically driven by those looks. That's not good or bad. It's just what's so. Go feel them out. See who feels good. Who do you want to pitch? And listen to your intuition. And a lot of times, when people have a struggle doing that, it's because the fear level is so high. And when I say fear, I'm not talking about confidence. I'm just talking about stretching outside your comfort zone because a lot of people haven't done this before. So you're uncomfortable and a little awkward like a gangly teenager. And when you start really listening, you know, because you talk so much about your soul, when you start listening to your soul and get so grounded and lower that fear internally in the moment – you'll know intuitively who you want to connect with. It's just like when you're at a networking event. You know, you meet somebody and you're like, you know, they're a nice person and everything. It's not someone I want to hang with.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same conversation with reporters. It's the same conversation.
Okay, so how does, let's say for a listener who hasn't ever approached the media, what do they do? Like, what's a good thing? Like, I keep hearing, you know, put together a one sheet.
Yep. And you know what? I would say there's one thing you can do. It's called piggybacking, and it's a skill set, and it's so easy to do. What you're going to do is, and I'll just give you a template, okay? Maybe once every 2 weeks on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, those are great days to pitch stories to the media. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are great days because a lot of studies come out. What happens in a newsroom in the morning, every newsroom across the globe has a morning meeting. And the producers, anchors, field producers, reporters, they all get together, the assignment editors, and discuss what's going on online, in local newspapers, in national newspapers, and international newspapers, or what's on the feeds of what the stories are. So they're saying, oh, gosh, yeah, that plant is closing. It's in the newspaper today. Maybe we should follow up and do a story on that today. What do you guys think? So they're talking about what people are talking about. And the best way to pitch when you have no relationship is to jump in the conversation that they're currently having. So maybe on a Tuesday or a Wednesday for 10 minutes you go look at USA Today or you go look at CBC or the Calgary Herald or wherever it is that you are in the world and see what the stories of the day are and see how you can pitch a story that matches something that's going on. So let's say a new study comes out about stress. It says, let's do Canada because you're Canada, right? Jaden, you're
correct.
Kenmore. Or, yeah. Let's say there's a new study that says, 50% of Canadians are dealing with stress. Baby boomers are dealing with stress with the foods that they're eating. You know, baby boomers need to pay attention to their food. Now, if you're a nutritionist or nutritionalist, or if you're a stress expert or a psychologist, you could call up the newsroom. It's a two-minute call, and there's a formula to it. Hey, my name is Sean Duperin. I'm an expert in stress. Saw the story in the Calgary Herald today that 50% of boomers are really dealing with stress. I have three things they can do right now to lower their stress so they won't overeat. Here's my cell phone number. So what you're doing is you're jumping into a conversation that is currently going on. That's how you start relationship because the reporter is looking at these news stories that are being talked about that morning, and this is always in the morning. And they're going into the morning meeting, and they say, hey, one producer will say, hey, did you see the story on baby boomers? You know, maybe we should, you know, follow up with that story today. And the reporter says, you know what? As a matter of fact, I've got somebody, you know, on the outskirts of Calgary who's an expert in stress that can talk about this right now. And we can go grab him. He just called me and left me a message. So the news team says, yeah, go for it. The reporter leaves the morning meeting and goes and calls you back on your cell phone and say, hey, thanks for doing that. We would love to come interview you in about 45 minutes, or can you come down to the station? Now, it sounds easy enough, doesn't it? And it really is that easy. The biggest problem, you know what happens? The biggest problem. You want to do this like at 7:30 in the morning before they go in that morning meeting and leave a message. The problem becomes when that reporter pitches you in the morning meeting, they don't know you, they're going to assume you're savvy because you are savvy enough to piggyback off a current story. That's what PR firms do. That's what really talented, understanding people of the media do. That's the game you play. When you do that, you're telling them, I'm media savvy, I know how you work, and I want to help you. So they're going to assume you know how to play the game. So then the assignment editor comes out of that morning meeting, calls you back on your cell phone, and then the worst thing that can happen is you don't pick up your cell phone. I can't tell you how many times that happens.
Yes.
Reporters are on deadline. Everybody's on deadline. They've got a camera crew right now to go cover you. And there's nothing worse for a reporter or a producer to go back into that morning meeting and say, you know, never mind. Because now they look like they aren't good with their sources in front of their colleagues. Are you following my line of logic?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's something so simple, but it's like fumbling the football on the 5-yard line.
Yeah, at the 1-inch line, really.
1 inch, yeah.
It's at the 1-inch line or millimeter, centimeter line. And that reporter, you've lost credibility with that reporter because you made them look bad in front of their peers. And I know it sounds simple and catty, and it's not, because reporters, producers, anchors, they deeply, deeply rely on their sources. And this is part of their business. It's like having nice clothes on camera. It's part of what they have to do for their business, and they have to have good resources. And just knowing that gives you an insight to what's going on in the newsroom. And when you have that insight, that's when you can really start making headway, because it's not about you. If you went on a first date and just talked about yourself for the whole four-hour date, you're not going on a second date. Mm-hmm. You got to impress the hot girl. Is it okay if I use this as an analogy?
Absolutely.
Because it's a great, it's a perfect analogy. It has stereotypes to it. I'm good with that, because I'm just going to assume your audience is savvy and intelligent enough to grasp deeper meaning. And it's a fast, simple, easy analogy. And the reporter is the hot date. The media is the hot date. And you're the so-so guy that she can pick from. She has hundreds that are lined up to go on a date with. And what is it that's going to make her turn her head for towards you is your savvy with how to work with the media.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about making an impact and separating yourself from others, because there are plenty of people calling up these shows wanting to get on, and they're not being as savvy as, like you're saying, using the principle of piggybacking, following the current medium, finding a story that is relevant.
And it's simple soul work that you teach on. You know, reporters respond to givers. We all intuitively, in our souls, respond to givers. And when you can let go of your fear and lower it enough that you can deeply give and trust your intuition that you'll know if the person is not receiving the gift and reciprocating, because that's a perfect cycle of reciprocity, you'll know the reporters that just take and not give back, just like when you work with vendors, just like when you hire an employee. You know if you made the wrong choice with an employee. Sometimes your intuition is on. A lot of times our intuition is off if our fear is high. Like if you're desperate to get an employee in there, how many times have you know, people listening are just going, yeah, I've done that. I just needed to fill this position. I grabbed the first person. I was so desperate, and it cost me a fortune. Because after 3 months, you needed to get rid of that person because they were never a fit. You just, with your high discomfort or high fear level, you didn't see all the red flags. And as you get more comfortable with dancing with the media, you'll start seeing red flags because they're people. You'll know what a red flag is. Of someone to play with in the media or someone not. And the bottom line is people in the news are people. They're just like me. And there's a lot of them that are high consciousness, that are lovely. The egocentric goes with the deal. It's part of being a reporter. It's part of being a news person. It's part of being a business owner. It's part of being a speaker. It's part of being a doctor. You have to have some oomph or some ego to even think you can do this. And then part of your spiritual or in personal growth journey is how do you temper that so your ego doesn't overwhelm everything, right? I'm always in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I grow personally as a leader? How do I temper my ego? And when I say the word ego, I don't say it with malice or any disharmony. It's just part of who we are as humans and how do we spiritually, or I don't know if it's even okay to say spiritually with you, Jaden, but those are the words I use. You know, how I'm always wanting to grow. And this is a non-church conversation. It's a nonpartisan, non-religious conversation. It's just simply growth as a human.
Oh, sure. It's speaking to who we are in our totality, not just our, you know, a singular aspect, but it really is who we are at our core. So, no, I appreciate you using those words and speaking to that, because that's absolutely my belief as well. So let's say for the average person out there who is ramping their... They're building their platform. They've already aligned with their purpose. Now they realize, okay, I realize what my message is, what I'm here to do, and now I need to figure out how to launch, you know, how to really build a platform. And if anyone has done it as successfully, Sean, that's certainly been you. So would you share with our listeners what are a couple things you did early on in your career that really helped you expand your reach and to build your following?
You know, I gave away a lot of stuff for free.
Mm.
Early on, like, just let's look at a speaking model, for instance. Do you have a lot of speakers that follow you, Jaden?
I do, yes.
Okay. Now, as a speaker, before I got really well-known in my field, I gave away a lot of speeches so I could create gossip. Because, you know, all my PhD research is in this notion of gossip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually when we hear the word gossip, we think mean and nasty, right? Isn't that what comes up?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm almost done with a PhD in this topic. There's like 100 of us in the world that really have a deep academic background in gossip. And research shows that mean, malicious kind is only about 5 to 7%. We're actually really, really good people. And if you think about it, it says a lot about a word, and I'm going to get to a point with this, okay? Because when you think about it, the word gossip comes from the word gossib, meaning close to God, which is like, you've got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
And what would happen, like in the 8th, 9th, 10th centuries, the doulas, or the women delivering babies, they were called gossibs because they'd spread the precious news that a precious child of God was born. A lot of reasons why it started getting bad connotations, blah, 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 not important in this conversation. What is important about this is gossip is the best form of positive advertising on the planet. Another way that we say it is word of mouth. You know, when we share on social media about your show, one person says, oh, my gosh, you got to listen to it. He has some really great guests. He's pretty deep. I like this guy. And then that starts growing. That builds a platform, how people talk about you. And I really believe, Jaden, you aren't who you say you are. I'm not who I say I am. Who I am is how those two people in the other room talk about me. That's who I am. Because the power of word of mouth and how others talk about you is so significant. And, you know, sometimes people will say to me, but what if they're talking bad about you? Here's the thing. If you're a good person, you have high integrity, you've got an awesome product or awesome service or awesome nonprofit, whatever it is that you do, there is going to be a ton of beautiful talk about you. There's always going to be outliers, as Malcolm Gladwell says. There's always going to be someone that wasn't happy, doesn't like it. There's things to do if it gets out of hand and you're in a crisis in the media or online reputation. But for the most part, if someone gets upset, the energy will dissipate because the truth always prevails. It always does. And I can have a room of 2,000 people where I'm speaking, and everyone's like, oh, my gosh, that was the funnest event, business event I've ever gone to. I'm always going to have 3 to 5 that'll say, this woman is terrible. She's an egomaniac. The exercises she had us do were so stupid. Who the heck does she think she is? I've come to a point where I can be with that. The bulk of the gossip around me frickin' rocks. And according to gossip theory, that's what matters. And we even applied this gossip theory to the little video we did for Project Forgive. It's been seen by tens of thousands across the globe. And the consistencies to good gossip is outrageous content, whether you're for your product, service, whatever. Outrageous customer service will have people talk if they're touched deeply. People want to be touched. We're in this authentic marketing stage. We're going to be here for another 30 years. Notice what gets shared on Facebook. Positive posters, positive memes, really funny stuff that get really, like, literally makes us laugh out loud. I will surely share a poster or a meme on Facebook that makes me laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. And then you can see something that gets shared, and maybe it'll get 5,000 shares, like, in 20 minutes, because it deeply resonates with our heart and soul authentically. Those are some of the pieces that you can do to build your platform. Give something away. Every time I've spoke early on, I would give away one of my boot camps or I'd give away one of my webinars. I'm at the point now with my webinars on LinkedIn, I sell a ton. I did tons of webinars for free. Now I charge because I'm known for a webinar that you're going to laugh out loud. You don't have to take notes. It's content rich. Does that mean once in a while I won't get an email from someone that says, gosh, you know, I can go to webinars for free. I would come if it's free. And I can be with that. That makes sense to me. And I've built a tribe, and I've earned the right and the respect with a deep level of content that has people come back over and over and pay the $37 for my webinar. It's not that deep.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Sean. Thank you for sharing that. And that is vital to get comfortable with the giving, to let people into, you know, what you're doing, what you're all about. And early on, that's important. And so you probably experienced a tremendous growth in your email list and in your following when you were being of service to others.
Absolutely. And you know, some of the mistakes that entrepreneurs make is that we automatically add people to our email list. That is the worst thing you can do. It actually repels people. You know what I'm talking about? Are you on some email list that you never signed up for?
Absolutely.
And then as soon as you get the email, you get in your stomach, like an annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
So then your brand gets associated with annoyance, the opposite effect of what you want. The worst thing you can do, and not only that, it's also illegal to spam people.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be the business, the nonprofit, the service that people are attracted to come be with you because you're so clean, integrity, authentic, rich content, rich whatever you're providing. And I don't mean financially. I just mean rich in authenticity that they're dying to sign up for your newsletter.
Yes. That is key. You want a strong tribe of raving fans, right? And then once you get them in your list, how often are you giving them valuable content? Are you emailing them? How often would you say?
I would say once every 3 weeks, sometimes once a month, because I have high engagement on LinkedIn. LinkedIn
mm-hmm.
is the place where I really have high engagement. And I'm getting ready to launch my new website. I've been working on it the last 2 months. It's really exquisite, and it's really content rich to give away stuff and to give away videos and for people to purchase videos for low cost. Because what I'm seeing, even in your newsletters, video is king. Video is king as long as it isn't 5 minutes long. So if you're going to do a video blog or you're going to give a free product to get people introduced, a minute or less, man, because research shows that, first of all, videos are what goes viral, and if the content is really good, people will share it. And if it's not exquisite and awesome in the first 20 seconds, 50% of your audience will leave. So you don't want to go through the ramble of, this is Sean, I'm so happy you're here, I'm so glad you found me, and it takes you 20 minutes to even get to any content. You've
right.
already lost that potential customer. It's gone. And so in
wow.
those newsletters, I'm putting videos. Like I'll put a funny video of the day, my favorite video of the week, you know, because I really love funny stuff. And
mm-hmm.
people, I've trained them in my newsletter, and this is what's making my newsletter grow, is that if I say to look at it, it's worth looking at. You know, there's certain mavens in your life that says, oh, my gosh, go see that movie, and you have to go see it,
sure.
right? Because they're word of mouth or gossip. You trust it because you've built that trust with them over time for other things that they've recommended, right?
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And then there's other people in your life that say that have recommended stuff, and you went, and it was just so-so. So it kind of that person who did the recommending, it's not that you don't like them anymore. It's just that you take their advice with a grain of salt. And when you consistently give exquisite stuff, even if it's less than what others do, when you focus on exquisite, it comes back to you 100-fold.
Yeah, and I noticed you are excellent at lots of quality video content. I went to your YouTube channel, checked out your videos, and they're awesome. And it occurred to me that you also, are you a big believer in shooting multiple videos in a single day, right? Like
I do 30 in a sitting.
30 in a sitting?
Easy. Well, I'm an on-camera coach. I mean, I'm pretty good at the on-camera thing. I just change my jacket, and I try to mess up my hair a little bit so it looks like I look a little bit different, but I do bulk right in a row.
Because
I'm busy. People are busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you reading from a teleprompter when you do your videos, or is it straight it's coming right
yeah.
from you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to disregard the importance of teleprompters, especially if you're like at an award ceremony and you're an MC or whatever. Dump the teleprompter. You got to speak from your heart, especially in this authentic stage. Practice it a few times. So
mm-hmm.
what? And if you stumble over your words, if you even look at any of my videos, it's just Shawnee Babani, you know? And if I stumble over a word, I just keep going. If it's a really big screw up, it's like, oh crap, I got to do it again. You know, not, it's not
mm-hmm.
that deep. But even in interviews with the media, if you ever see me in the media with a different, like I might screw up my words and just fix it because I'm doing it right now. I'm talking to you, Jaden. This is how we talk.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
It's not
natural.
Perfection.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're right. And I think people appreciate that because they know it's not sliced and diced to, you know, where it has to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be. It has to be authentic.
Yes. And, you know, here's the thing that I want to say that stops a lot of people from pursuing the media. First, get some training. You know, of course I want people to come to my boot camp. I only do it once a year, and I've got a ton of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And get a little bit of training. It's not that deep. Because if you watch people on TV, most of them are not that good.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And they're good enough.
There you go.
So you don't have to be amazing. You start off like everybody else, just so-so, even a little boring, you know, rambling in your sound bites or whatever. As you start doing it and get more training and learn how to be exquisite, when you're really good, you profoundly stand out because most people are just ho-hum.
Mm-hmm. And would you recommend people to start with, I mean, don't go right for CNN out of the gate, but really start with some smaller media outlets to build your confidence and build your sound bites effectively?
Absolutely. Because if you're learning how to swim, you don't go right to the Olympics. It doesn't work that way because you are going to make mistakes. It's part of the game. You're going to make mistakes, and you might as well make your mistakes in really small markets, and your mistakes are going to feel like big warts on your face. It's not that deep. It's really, truly not that deep because most people have a bunch of warts on their face when they do TV because they're not that good. Your competition is not stiff. You become a standout when you're really good, and yes, start small, start in your local TV, your local print, your local radio.
So, Sean, because there are so many different media outlets people can choose from, what are the most effective for people to share their message and to build their platform?
Well, of course, I'm going to say TV. It's the highest skill set. It is, and you can leverage it. Video is the hottest thing on the internet right now. So even if people didn't see your two-minute story, you can put on your website as seen on CBC or whatever. You can put it in your social media feeds. You can share it in your newsletter. You can tag people and share it. And video is what really, really starts having people talk. And regardless of how great you are on camera, whatever you do is going to be good enough. It just always is. I've only seen a few people that have really blundered it because they were by themselves and they didn't have a reporter to source them because reporters want you to look good too. It's very rare that it happens, like extremely rare. You are already good enough with a little bit of training, you know, to know how to do talking three-sentence sound bites and blah, blah, blah. There's some general rules you want to know. And, I just lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere. I can't remember.
You were saying how...
You're forgetting.
I love that. You're so authentic. Okay. It's like, oh, I just lost my train of thought. You were talking about how, you know, really don't get nervous about it. Very, very few. The media is not going to let you know, fumble and stumble. And, you know, I noticed, too, a lot of these interviews are no more than 5 minutes, more like 2 minutes, right? You have a few minutes on camera.
Yeah, and it goes just like a conversation. When you're at the point you're having a conversation with the reporter, you've made it. And the other thing, too, is, you know, about this notion about being nervous. Be nervous. Woohoo! It goes with the territory. Like, if you're going to get ready to do a big speech or do a big presentation for a $1 million deal, you're going to feel nervous. If you don't feel nervous, you're a dead person. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The game
Absolutely.
Is the ability, and I know you meant that when you said that, right? And I'm just saying this for our literal folks. When I go on local news, I have a lot less nervousness than ever. When I recently went on CNN with 1 million viewers, my stomach was going and I'm a pro with this, okay?
Yeah.
And I manage the discomfort masterfully because as you start growing and doing it more often, you become masterful at managing that discomfort. And doesn't that what entrepreneurs do? We take risks.
Yeah.
We take risks all the time. Is it comfortable? Heck no. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes we just want to puke, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason I love taking the risk game with the media is because the rewards are so immense. They really are immense. It's really cool when you're walking into the store and someone says, "Don't I know you?" And when you're first getting started, they may not remember where they saw you. They just know that they know you. The gossip about you is starting to grow. And as you repeatedly go on camera, which is your game, because once you create a relationship with that reporter, he or she is going to keep coming back to you over and over again for other stories and your expertise. That's what you want. Because one story, like if you were to pay for that story, is about $6,500 in actual advertising costs. Because when they interview you, you're going to go on the noon, you're going to go on the 5, the 5:30, the 6, the late night, and the following morning. Because newsrooms want to get the biggest bang for their buck. That's the game they're playing, right? And a lot of people say to me, someone say, oh, Sean, it's so exciting. I was on MSNBC. And I'm like, cool, when? And they say 7 years ago. And I'm like, dang, how do you foster that relationship as if that reporter were a vendor so they keep coming back to you over and over again? And that's continuously pitching that same reporter that you create a relationship with, that you want to be in friendship with for 20 years. Because that really is the key to crisis communication. You know, I have companies that call me, they're in crisis, they have no relationships. When I build relationships with reporters and ongoingly provide expertise to them for the stories they're working on within my topic and my expertise, that's crisis prevention. Because when and if a crisis ever hits me, I've got frickin' friends.
Yes.
That's crisis prevention.
Yeah, and they know they can reach out to you. They know that, you know, you're going to be a trusted source for them when they're in a pinch. And that brings me to another thought or a question is, do you ask the media for referrals of other networks, or is that a no-no?
No. Nope. That would be like going out with a gal. Let me just give you a good analogy. You just went out with a hot girl, and you say, you know, it was really nice having dinner with you. Can I have your best friend's phone number? Because she's pretty hot, too. Right? You get me following?
Yeah.
It's a great question, though. I love that question. No, you would not do that. But, and in the same conversation, when you go up on NBC or CBC or CTV or ABC, when you are interviewed, if your interview is good, they're going to put you up on the feed that goes across the country for all those affiliates. So it's very feasible and possible that if you are on the Detroit, if you were interviewed in Detroit, that you show up in Dallas, that the Dallas office will call you and say, hey, we really liked your story on blah, blah, blah. We want to expand it a little bit. Would you be willing to do a satellite interview? That is very commonly happens when you're really good on camera.
Excellent. So how important is it to, like, because, you know, depending
Before
on
you
the
say
market
this,
that
I just
you're
say,
in.
Yeah. I want to say this because when you, when you asked me about asking the station, I thought my analogy of asking the hot girl for her girlfriend's phone number, I thought that was pretty funny, okay? I just want to say that.
And quick, I like
I've never said that one out loud. That's a real good one. I'm going to remember that one, okay?
Yeah, remember that one.
Anyway.
Use that one. And then, so how about when you, let's say you do a bang-up job on a show, how customary is it to ask for like a letter of reference or to ask for to use that news, that snippet that you did? Is that customary to get that and replay it on your, like you're saying, on your social media outlets?
All right. Those are great questions, Jane. I haven't heard those in a while. I haven't had it presenced in a while. They're great. So after the interview, you are the guy who just went out with the hot girl. So what you do is you romance them. You send them a thank you gift. Now, this is just for TV and radio. This is broadcast. Food. Send them a big basket of fruit or chocolate. Thank them for the wonderful opportunity because you're courting them. The reason you want to do this is, first of all, in broadcast, rarely do they even have time to eat because they're running around doing 14 stories that day. So sometimes they're absolutely starved. And like when that food comes in, they're like, yay, food. I don't have to eat stale peanut butter and crackers in the vending machine. Are you with me?
I'm with you. They'll love you.
Yeah. And then the other thing that happens, I always say go big or go home. The bigger, the better. Because when you send a huge basket, that reporter is going to, or assignment editor, will bring it into the newsroom to share. And then all kinds of gossip is going to be around you. So let's say you just did a story on stress with one of the stress reporters. And the business editor walks up and says, oh, wow, this is awesome. Who did you do the interview with this? And they say, oh, that was Sean DePeron. You know, I need a story on a successful company, and I was really looking at stress. Do you think that would be a good person for me to do a story with? Do you see how that works? They
Sean,
pass you
brilliant.
Around.
Yes,
they pass you
I
around.
Totally
okay.
love
now,
that.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I'm so glad you're asking these questions because your folks listening are getting some very good gold nuggets. Here's
they
another
are,
piece.
Yes, yeah. tell me.
Yeah, here's another piece. So after you do the story, there's called monitoring services. where you can actually record it, you know, hire a company. They're in your cities. You can just do a Google search and just put in news monitoring services to get a copy of that clip. Or if you got a really amazing tech, you can grab it off the TV news station, grab it yourself. Now, my school of thought is this, and I'm not a lawyer, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes newsrooms are very upset if you use their clips. Sometimes they could care less. My school of thought, and I've been doing this for 20 years, is I grab the clip, and in my world, I'm endorsing that station or giving them some positive gossip because that story was done on their station, so I don't ask for permission. I'm literally going to tell you this. And I've never gotten in trouble. I've never had someone take something down. I'm not saying that could ever happen to you because I've heard of a few cases where a large network has asked someone to take something down, and they might ask you to take it down. So I come from the place, do it, beg for forgiveness if it happens. For me, that is integrity.
Perfect. John, we have a few seconds left. Tell our audience where they can find about more about you and your work.
Oh, I'm going to send it to my website, Sean, ShawneeTV, ShawneeTV.com. Also, come hang out with me on Facebook, which is ShawneeTV, Facebook.com/ShawneeTV with an E. And, of course, I want to give a big, loving hug to Project Forgive. Come check out Project Forgive. We're doing some pretty amazing things. And everything that I do in ShawneeTV is about moving through forgiveness, taking risks, and this big game of forgiveness that is in this realm of taking risks and stretching as a leader.
Oh, love that. Love you and your work. Thank you so much for being with us, Sean, and hope to have
my
you back
pleasure.
Soon. All right.
You are a delight. It was my pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, everyone. Have a fantastic week. You will hear, be back here next week, same time, same channel, and I'll be interviewing Cindy Smith. We're going to be talking about the upcoming International Angel Day, our fifth year that we're hosting the event in Calgary. So have a fantastic week. Thanks.
GEICO presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. GEICO has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting GEICO.com. No magic wand required. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.